Before reflecting on today's scripture and today's celebration, I'd like to say we're going to miss you, to those of you who won't be here next Sunday on Christmas. Many of the people at this Mass go somewhere else for Christmas to their families, because some of you are students and some of you just have family living elsewhere. We're going to have a full church, I'm sure, standing room only, but we're going to miss you. So I just wanted to greet you all before you head your ways and wish you the very best in your travels and in your celebrations with your families. Today is called Gaudete Sunday. It's symbolized by the rose vestment. There was a joke I received in the mail this week from someone which showed a picture of two older boys arguing with one another about this vestment, and they were, one of them was saying, well, it's pink. And the other one said, no, it's rose. And he said, well, how do you know it's rose? Because Jesus rose from the dead. It's not very funny, but it, those of us who wear this vestment want to insist it's not pink, it's rose. And it's a symbol of the third week of Advent. The candle is the third week of Advent candle. And it symbolizes the fact that we're, this year it's not really true, but ordinarily it symbolizes the fact that we're halfway through the penitential season of Advent. We only have a week to go because the fourth week of Advent is less than 24 hours long before we celebrate Christmas Eve. This time next week, we won't have the 6:30 Mass because we'll already be celebrating Christmas with the Eve celebrations and then Midnight Mass. So it's called Gaudete Sunday, which is a Latin word that translates the Greek from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, where St. Paul, speaking to that community, said, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice, for the Lord is near. So those of us who are Christians should be experiencing a joy about the coming celebration of Christmas. We hear the word frequently in the liturgy today. The opening prayer, I'd like to repeat it for you. I prayed, O God, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. So there's the call in the prayer that God would help us to rejoice. Our first reading, which is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, says this. The prophet speaking about God says, he has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor. I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God, who is the joy of my soul. So God is sending the prophet to bring joy to people, but especially to the poor. And this stirs the prophet's heart. And then he goes on to say why. Like a bridegroom, or rather I should begin another spot, he says, God has wrapped me in a mantle of justice, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, which is a crown, like a bridemaid bedecked with her jewels. You know, one of the early traditions of the church was to see Christmas as a marriage between God and human beings. You know, we believe that God took on our human flesh that first Christmas, joined himself to us in an inseparable bond, and the church has always seen that experience as making us the bride or the bridegroom of Christ. You know, that God has married his people. And we know you only marry people you really love a lot, you know, that permanent kind of commitment. And God has loved you and me so much that he has permanently committed himself to us by taking on our human nature in his very self. And this should cause us to rejoice. You know? And then again, in the second reading today, from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, we heard these words, brothers and sisters, rejoice always. In all circumstances, give thanks. So it's at the heart of being a Christian to rejoice and to have a joyful experience about God's love for us. Now, as those of you who come to this Mass know, I often go to the dictionary to rediscover the basic meanings of words. And under the title Rejoice, I found this definition. To rejoice is to feel joy and be delighted. So if you rejoice, it's not just a matter of a thought you have, it's a matter of an experience you have deep in yourself, an experience of joy, to feel joy, to be delighted. And then joy is defined as an intense or elated happiness. So it's not just being happy, it's being happy on a deeper level, to be intensely happy. And Christians should have that experience because they know that God has sent us a Savior. The word gospel, which we hear every Sunday, means good news. And it's because of the good news that we should rejoice. And that good news is that we have a Savior. Now, some people cynically say that for many of us who are Christians, the gospel is neither good nor news. And I think it may be a problem for us. You know, we've heard the story of Christmas so many times that it's lost its intensity. We take it for granted. We don't even reflect on it. We know we're having some kind of celebration, but we're more influenced by the spirit of the world around us than we are by the Christian scriptures. Also, it's difficult for us to rejoice that we have a Savior if we don't think we need to be saved. And I think, unfortunately, that's the case with many of us. We're getting along just fine. You know, if we need something, we can take care of ourselves. You know, we save ourselves, or our money saves us, or our girlfriend's going to save us, or, you know, a good job, a better job, more possessions are going to save us. And we really don't think we need to have God as our Savior. And so the Advent season, as we celebrate Gaudete Sunday, is for us to ask ourselves a question: am I rejoicing at the gift of salvation because I understand that I need to be saved? And I think we all have to think about that. Now, what do you need to be saved from? And what is the thing in your life that undermines you? You know, some of us need to be saved from serious things, like depression. Or we need to be saved from an addiction to alcohol or to drugs or to pornography. I mean, it just, some of those things just tie up our lives. Others of us need to be saved from ourselves. You know, we are so self-focused that there's no space in our life for other people, for our families, for our friends. It's all about me, all about ourselves. And if we're really honest, we have to also admit that none of those things, you know, power or money or pleasure, ever really saves us. It might make us feel good for a while, but none of those things bring us lasting joy. The only thing that can bring us lasting joy is a relationship with God, who's made us for Himself. And if we don't have a relationship with Him, that part of us that is meant for God is empty, and we're not really, really joyful or able to be foundationally and fundamentally happy. So are you happy? And if not, those of us who believe know that there's a way through this, and that way is a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And He comes to save us. That's the meaning of Christmas. That's why Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy, because God has loved us personally. He's loved us intensely. He loves you as your spouse would love you if you were married, you know. And God has loved us first. You know, we don't go to God in the Catholic religion. God comes to us, comes down to us to embrace our lives because He loves us. And that's why we rejoice. So I say with St. Paul to you today, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say it again and again and again, rejoice because the Lord is near. He's near to you. He's available to you as your Lord and your Savior. So that's one of the themes of this third Sunday of Advent. The other theme is found in today's gospel and in the first reading, and that's the theme of witnessing. And I'd like to approach this by asking you a question. Do you remember, in any kind of clear way, the first time that you heard about Christmas? Some people are shaking their head, no. But I think we can guess when we first heard it. It was probably when we were small children, and we heard it from our grandmother, maybe, or from our parents, or we came to church on Christmas Day and we heard the story of Christmas from the priest or the deacon. Maybe for those of us who were converted later in lives, we heard about Jesus and about Christmas from a Christian author that impacted our lives. There's many different ways that we come to know about Christmas. But none of us here or anywhere come to know about Christmas from ourselves. You know, we're not born with a Christmas gene. We're not born naturally understanding the incarnation, the fact that God became man. The only reason we've heard that story is because someone loved God enough or loved us enough to tell us that story. In other words, Christmas or Christian faith depends on the witness of other people. And we need to be grateful for those who witnessed to Jesus in our lives, and also for those of you who are parents especially, but you know, we all have responsibility for others. We have to understand the importance of witnessing to Jesus in our own lives in the service of the people that God has entrusted to our care. You know, on Christmas Day, I'm always impressed when I see parents. The crib is over here again this year, I guess, huh? Where it usually is. And I'm always impressed when after Mass, I see parents bringing their children to the crib, and I'm sure they're telling the children the Christmas story. But I'm often afraid that the only thing they're really telling them is about the donkey and the oxen and the straw and the angels. And they're not really telling their children what Christmas means. You know, they tell the story, but they don't tell about God. You know, they might say that baby Jesus is God, but they don't try to explain to their children the meaning of that and the immensity of the love that's contained in that story of our Christian faith. You know, again, we believe that God loved us so much that he came down to take on our human nature, to bind himself permanently to us, and not just in a general sense, but also to each of us as individuals. And that's the kind of witnessing that's necessary for us to really celebrate fully the meaning of Christmas. In today's gospel, we heard these words. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, and to be a witness, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. Now, God is the one who sent the first witnesses. And then the apostles became witnesses and passed that faith on to the next Christians. And they became the next witnesses. And now it's our turn. And then on this third Sunday of Advent, we need to ask ourselves that question. Are we really active witnesses to the Christmas story? Do we understand that each one of us has also been sent by God, like John the Baptist, to point to Jesus and to bring others to him? That's an essential part of what it means to be a Christian. So the Christmas celebration is coming, and we have many opportunities to be witnesses to Jesus and the incarnation as we celebrate Christmas. Sitting around our dining room table. Perhaps this year the prayer before meals can be more than bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. I mean, that's a good enough prayer, but it's routine, isn't it? We need to spend some time as families talking about the awesome meaning of Christmas. And those of us who are preachers, whether we're deacons or priests or bishops, need to make sure we prepare our Christmas homilies well, because we have a unique responsibility to testify to Jesus at Christmas time. Perhaps you could bring a friend who doesn't practice the faith any longer to church on Christmas Day. Not just to hear the beautiful music, although it will be beautiful, but in order to testify to her or to him your own personal faith in Jesus Christ and be a living witness of the gospel to those that God has blessed you with, whether it's your brother, your sister, your cousins, your friends. I mean, all of us have the opportunity at Christmas to testify to the Christmas faith of the church. In today's first reading, we hear these words once again from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication from our God. The Lord sent him, the Lord sends us. May we be faithful to that mission, to that vocation.